So good morning. I am super excited that we have Jason Wilson with us. Jason was at our church. I'm not sure how long ago that was. Maybe a year ago, a little more than a year ago. He just published the book, Like a Man, and a great book. I highly recommend it. We'll actually have an image of it come up on your screen right now, so you know what we're talking about. Jason's a husband, a father, author, a speaker, and a director of an incredible nonprofit that helps young boys to grow up to be warriors for God. I love what you do. I love how you do it. And I'm just excited that you're here with us. So welcome. Glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm here too as well, Doug. It's always good to see you. And, you know, actually does me some good to actually be able to, you know, just talk with another brother in the Lord who we found out we have some similar concerns as far as our daughters not being in our own home right now. But it's just always good just to be able to decompress with each other. So I was glad that you invited me for this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when I can do it flesh to flesh. I'm getting a little tired of Zoom myself. But I'm glad for the technology. Imagine, I don't know what the world would be like if we didn't have this way of connecting. So it's been good.
Yes, it has. Yep.
So Jason, I know really from Facebook that you have suffered a lot of loss of close friends, and I just want to ask you how you're doing and how's your heart, and just share a little of that.
My heart is broken, very tender. I mean, I didn't post all of our losses, you know, so if you include my wife, we've lost a total of maybe 5 or 6
wow.
friends, family. One was a spiritual son to my father-in-law. Another one was a minister at his church. A martial arts mentor. My best childhood best friend growing up for 38 years. His father, they died 2 days apart.
Oh.
A friend of mine who was a DJ who, he was actually, they wrote about him in the Free Press because of his influence on house music, and he helped connect our nonprofit with the company that produces the largest like digital software and music, and they gave us, I mean, thousands of dollars worth of equipment because of him. And so, you know, it's very difficult. I was talking to my friend's fiance. She was just devastated. And the thing about these times, Doug, is that we have to grieve virtually. And it's not, you know, God's natural way for us to grieve, you know.
Right, for sure.
So the funeral is Tuesday. I'm a pallbearer, but we have to wait outside because only 10 people can be in the funeral. When the immediate family comes out, we go in, get the casket, put it in the hearse, and leave because only 10 people can go to the cemetery. And so not being able to release the hurt in a healthy way is very traumatic. It's I catch myself now meditating more in prayer, more so than asking and talking. I found a greater benefit in just sitting still and listening. Like, you know, Abba, please talk to me. My soul is hurting. Gracefully teach me how to wean it like David did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing, Doug, that's been helping me, man, is like Isaiah says, you know, those who keep their minds focused on the Most High, he will keep them in perfect peace.
Right.
And that's all I can do right now. And I'm looking forward to when this is over, not just to get back to where things will never be the same, just like it wasn't after 9/11, but to be able to finally hug someone and cry with my brothers who we mutually have lost so many people.
Yeah.
And, so that's how I'm processing the pain and releasing it.
Yeah. And we're going to have to be super intentional as shepherds. You're a shepherd. I'm a shepherd of even helping people to do that, because our human nature is to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both know you don't move on until you really work through and you process and you grieve, and that comes in waves anyway. Even with the type of grief that you're dealing with, we want to just get through it, So we're going to have to be really intentional of even bringing people together and really bringing those conversations forward and talking through for sure.
Yes, a lot of experts and therapists, you know, I'm friends with a lot of them, they're saying we're not ready for the type of PTSD we're going to experience, you know, after when this is over. And, you know, especially the churches, we're going to play a major role in this. I'm talking to several just book publishers and people in the book industry, and they were saying the Bible, the sales have risen 40% since this has happened. And it reminds them of when after 9/11, similar effect. And so the body of Christ, we have a major role to play in allowing people to heal, not just, you know, talk to them or preach to them, but give them an opportunity to cry out during praise and worship, to let go of so much hurt and pain. I mean, I would actually encourage pastors to just the first few services coming back, you know, limit the sermon and just have it prayer, praise, and worship, just to allow the soul to cry out to God and say, hey, it's been too long, like David, I have to release this.
I agree. Won't be easy. We pastors, we're not good at being brief, you know, but we'll try to take advice and do it.
Hey, it's your own way. The pulpit is your journal, man. It's kind of a way for you to decompress as well. I get it.
Yeah. So we have been talking about peace in our services for the last few weeks. And one of the points that we made early on is that there is this mysterious link between suffering and peace. Mm-hmm. And you even were kind of just alluding to it a little bit in the way you're talking. There's a great opportunity for us in the midst of this to discover perfect peace. We have all kinds of peace that we think is peace. But when we get in a situation like this, Our peace is put to the test, right? It's almost like we're in a blast furnace, mm-hmm. and everything that we thought was bringing us peace is pushed away. How has that been for you? And how, what have you discovered about peace in this journey, in the midst of suffering? Does that even make sense to you? When I say they're mysteriously linked, can you relate to that? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, biblically, you can see it all throughout Scripture. You know, even when David, he says, one of my favorites is, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Right. And so, and one of my favorite examples of maintaining peace is with Yeshua, or Jesus, resting in the helm of a boat, you know, while his disciples are frantic and terrified. And during this season, you know, my mother, she passed in 2016 with dementia or Alzheimer's at the time. And God told me, you know, I desired a loving relationship with her, and it was so hard at first because it was so turbulent. Her emotions would go up and down. You think you have a moment of peace, like we're watching the news. It seems like things are getting better. The next thing you know, the case of the coronavirus go up, and now you're nervous again, you're anxious. Well, I was experiencing that in 2010 through 2016 with dementia, and it wasn't until I grasped the truth that the Holy Spirit had been trying to tell me is like, look, peace can never be a place. It has to be within you.
Yeah.
Once I grasped that, then I started studying the scriptures again and saw how Jesus was able to rest in the midst of a storm. Right there at the helm of the boat, he was still in control, but that was peace to him. And that's what I desired. And so through the journey with dealing with my mother and her emotions, I learned how not to get on what I call the emotional roller coaster. I would stay off and watch her as she would go through all of this turbulence or whatever's going on mentally. And when it ended, I was there for her to hold her hand. Same thing with now with the coronavirus. You know, you're watching the media, social media, the news, you know, and then personally, so many of my friends are leaving here. I have to steel my soul. Like David said, Lord, God was just teaching our boys this in Psalms 31:2. Where he says, instead, I've quieted myself, quieted and calmed myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. And so I found it interesting David compared his soul to a child. And if we know the soul is the seat of our emotions and our cares, we're honest with each other, we're spoiled. We want things stable. We want our boat on the Placid Lake, okay? Nothing turbulent, no waves or nothing. It has to be calm or God isn't there. And we know our brother James says in the scriptures that consider it joy when we face tests of many trials. And so once I learned how to calm my spoiled and selfish soul so that I can walk and live by the Spirit, I'm able to find peace during the midst of this storm.
Sure.
And so that's how I've been able to maintain. I say, okay, Father, what am I supposed to get from this? What am I to learn from? I can't allow this to shake my faith. I believe in you. I trust you. If I truly believe in heaven, why am I so scared to die? You know, that I know that I have eternal life. So a lot of things have caused me to really introspectively deal with myself. Like, okay, I shouldn't be, it's okay to be concerned. And that's one thing I have to tell our boys. It's okay to feel fear, especially men. I got contacted with so many men who were on the verge of panic attack because they couldn't express them being scared or for their fear of being pusillanimous or punks. And I told them it's okay to fear fear, but we feel fear, but we should never succumb to it. Like Jesus Yeshua in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed for the reason he came to be done away with.
Right.
He said, Father, take this cup from me. Why? Great anxiety, because he knew what he was about to face.
Right.
But yet he didn't allow him feeling fear to deter him for why he came here.
Right.
And that's what I've been practicing, Doug, just really in modeling it. And then sharing with my wife my fears has been a blessing as well, because, you know, a lot of times as men, we feel that we have to fall in line with the popular alliteration with a priest, protector, and provider. And I really saw how that was also used by Satan to put extra pressure on men to be a protector, provider, and a priest of the home. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You go to the scriptures, Paul talks about we're all royal priesthood. We know Jehovah Jireh, he's our provider. And yes, we can protect to some extent, but we know if the strong man is tied up, the thief can come in and ravage the home. So at the end of the day, all those three titles David put in the hands of the Lord.
Right.
And so when I learned to cast all of that to him, yeah, I'm still provide. Yes, I'm a protector if I have to. And yes, I can pray all my way. But once I was able to just release myself of all that pressure, allow my soul to express the concerns, the fears, everything associated with what's going on, I'm able, man, to finally hear the small, still voice of the Lord and hear him say, it's going to be okay. Trust me.
Which is where the peace comes.
What'd you say, Doug?
Which is where the peace comes, right? When we can tune in to the voice of the Lord. So one of the things I've been thinking about, knowing that I was going to have this conversation with you, for those who don't know, part of Jason's ministry, what he does with the young boys, is it involves the martial arts. But what I've watched is how often you take the boys to a place of being incredibly uncomfortable. You might even say fearful, and you might even say feeling pain in both those cases. And maybe it's a combination of all of that, but that becomes your optimum teaching moment.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, to me, that would be a great thing for us to grasp in this season. How do we take the pain, and how do we take the fear, and all the places that God is bringing us through, and then say, okay, this is the moment for me to be taught. I say it all the time, but the movement of God in your life always starts with an invitation. Mm-hmm. How do we see the difficulties as invitations? Like, do you understand what I'm asking?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, James chapter 1, you know, where he talks about considering everything that we face that's uncomfortable, consider it a joy. So when you really grasp that every test and trial, we should consider it a joy, then you say, well, wait a minute, what's a good day then? Or what's a bad day, per se? So there's really no such thing as a bad day when you're walking in the will of God, because that he could be using that adversity to shape and mold you. And so, you know, definitely, I mean, the greatest times we've had training in the cave of Adullam is when a boy is faced with something, some type of trauma. Either he was bullied from the past or something in that moment, and I gracefully walk him through it, where he can't go back. It's like an invisible wall behind him, slowly pushing him towards this area so that he can deal with his fear or whatever happened, overcoming. And that's all God does with these type of situations. The reason he took Israel through 40 years. You know, it's just like you weren't ready. And so it's like allowing this moment to say, okay, can Father show me how can all of this anxiety, stress, fear associated with this virus shape and mold me into more of an image of your son? And we understand how powerful Christ was, the benefit in him suffering for us and then telling his disciples that you also will suffer. And then when you see that suffering actually breaks away ourselves, the flesh, the soul, out of the way, so that we can, the Spirit of God can just go move through us and touch other people. Right. It's these moments like this that get us out the way and say, wait a minute, it's much greater than how I feel. How can God get the most glory out of me in this moment? And I always contemplate that. And then, you know, I like when James says, he talks about, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow.
Right.
So if everything is all good all the time, we never have a chance to grow. Right. And that's what it's about. Even in sports and football, weight training, you never, if you can do 225 20 times, you never just stay there. You add a dime or a quarter on. Why? Because that resistance, that challenge helps us grow. You want to get a big chest or biceps or whatever, you can't stay at a weight you can do 150 times. Even though it feels comfortable, there's no more burn, no more resistance, you know in order for you to build the muscle that you desire, you have to add weight, you have to add resistance, you have to have a burden. You can't just wear a cross around your neck, you got to carry one.
Yeah.
And so that's what these times are for. And honestly, what I love, man, when Moses, and this reminds me of the burning bush, I think you and I talked about this, you know, the fact that a bush was burning in the wilderness wasn't like a strange sight to Moses or anyone. The issue was the fact that this bush wasn't consumed by the fire.
Right.
When the world can see Christians in the same fire that they are in, not being consumed by the stress, the anxiety of what's going on, they're going to stop and say, wait a minute, why aren't they having a panic attack? Why aren't they having a nervous breakdown? I don't see them succumbing to their fears. And they're going to go check this out. And it's all because of why? What was in the midst of that bush? You know, it says the angel of the Lord or God was in the midst of that bush. So when we have the Holy Spirit in us, whatever's going on, the fiery test and trial, it will not consume us. And we really, this is a great time to me because we're to the point in the church where we have the information. Like in the 70s and the 80s, you know, we didn't have all of these technologies. We can Google certain sermons or whatever, scriptures, and now we can get the Strong's Concordance online. I used to have to carry the Strong's. This is the big old book with me.
Right.
Now everything is in your phone. We have the information. We lack the application.
Absolutely.
And that's the key now, right now. So, okay, cool. I can apply some of the scriptures Pastor Doug has taught me now. I can really see how my God can move through prayer during these turbulent times.
Right.
And that's what this is about, man. You know, and then I think also as Christians, we have to remember that we need to be really sensitive to those who are suffering and hurting. Allow ourselves a moment to feel their pain. Like Solomon says, it's better to be in a house of mourning than a house of feasting. And so I want to always connect to the heart of Yeshua, Jesus. Like, what made him cry in the streets of Jerusalem? What grieved him so much to see his people wandering without a shepherd? Why did he say, clothe the naked, visit the, feed the hungry, visit those who are in prison? Those are the things in giving. Like, it's a blessing, Doug, to me and my wife when we find a family who's hurting that needs some food or whatever, and we can cash app it. You know, it's like, wow, that's what Jesus would do. He would, if he couldn't go anywhere, which we know he's not limited by anything, but a disciple would cash app the resources to you.
Right.
And so we have so many great opportunities to be used by him and then to feel the joy of the Lord rest on you for allowing him to use you as his hands and feet or his fingers to push sin on the app. But I just think this is a great time for the church to I think it's a good wake-up call. We've become so complacent and comfortable.
For sure.
I just think this is a great time for all of us.
I do too. I do too, for sure. So one of the things, the case that you're making in your book, which I know I told you before, but I love your book. I love the message of your book. And part of the reason I even wanted to call you and have this conversation, you know, you talk about breaking free of emotional incarceration. I think I sometimes say emotional constipation. The point being, we need to be honest with our emotions. And so I want to give you a minute to kind of just look right at the camera. You're talking to the men. Hundreds of men are going to be watching this broadcast. They're in their homes. How do we get in touch with all those emotions that are just piling up on us right now, that are causing us to snap at our wives and yell at our kids and kick our dog? Or, you know, I think tensions are high in the home. So you have a chance to talk to all these men and help back the octane down a little bit. How do we do that? How do we get to our emotions? Just give a couple words that you would want to say to the men.
It was interesting you brought that up because my wife and I had saw online, and we have several friends who are lawyers. They said requests for divorce have skyrocketed.
Of course.
And as far as the men, my brothers out here who are watching, you know, I can only tell you what I had to do. First of all, what you're feeling is normal. What's not normal is for you to suppress what you're feeling, to hold it in. If you're a follower of Jesus, he laid it out exactly what it looks like to be human and God. So let's look at his human side. When his friend Lazarus died, he cried, he wept bitterly. Why did he wept? I mean, Doug, we would talk about the fact that he could raise him from the grave. I wouldn't have cried over my friend Nate, who just passed from COVID-19, if I could have walked in the hospital and said, Nate, come out, let's go. God gave us tear ducts. God gave us emotions and feelings so that we can release these things. When we hold on to our emotions, when we suppress them, I say with suppression comes depression, and you know it. And that's why we're caught up in so many high-risk behaviors, extramarital affairs. We have to get something to drink just to deal or cope with what's going on. But really the truth and the freedom and truly becoming a comprehensive man of God is to become human, to walk in or live in the attributes that God has given us besides masculine ones, like nurturing, love, concern. It's a disservice to you, my brothers, when you do not express that humanity that God has given us. And so I guess for me, I can give you some steps which allow me to break free from emotional incarceration. The first thing you have to realize is, when is enough enough? When are you tired of being the bad guy when you desire to be a good one? When are you tired of just allowing your wife's emotions because she's scared to shake you because you're too scared to express that you're in fear? How long will it take before you're tired of being impatient with your own children because you give the world your best? And so what I had to start with was first asking God to break away this false sense of what a man is. I want to know what a human is. And yes, I want to operate in the strength and attributes that he's given us as men, but also I want to be comprehensive. I want to be able to pour into my wife in such a way where she can say, I am so thankful to God for you. I want to exude such patience with my children, and specifically our boys, men, so that they don't continue these generational, I don't want to say curses, but continually passing on trauma to their wives and their children. And I always love giving stories, for example, Doug. So recently my son, brothers, you know, when we're working hard and we're hungry, majority of the food should go to us, right? And so, Doug, I get off a meeting and I go in the kitchen and my son, he already had eaten with my wife. And so I'm excited, I'm making my plate, and we had Amish wings, baked Amish wings, and they're excellent, but they're tiny. So I happened to look to my left, my brothers, and he was eating one of my wings. I was very upset. And 10 years ago, Jason would have yelled, berated him, embarrassed him, demeaned him, you name it. I did rebuke his disrespectful behavior because he had already eaten and I only had 6 wings. However, in the midst of me rebuking him, I was already forgiven. When you allow yourself to constantly express or reflect and release, you'll be able to reset. So I constantly, whatever I feel, whatever irritates me, I don't just push it aside. I think on it, ask God, what does he see? Can I see this through your lens and not my emotion? And
that's
then
good.
I'm able to release it. And so, my brothers, if you can't right now cry in front of your wife or just express what you're feeling, start in your car. Take a walk around the block. Then gradually bring that into the garage. Then once you feel comfortable there, bring it into your office or your basement. And then eventually, next thing you know, you're able to sit next to your wife and express what you're feeling. And I'm telling you, gentlemen, there's no greater freedom than being able to express your humanity completely with those that you love. And so I hope that encourages you. And again, we have the example in scripture of our Lord and Savior. If he knew he could raise his best friend but still cry, that lets us know that it's imperative that we learn how to release what's toxic inside of us before we become toxic.
For sure.
So I want to pray for you, pray for your ministry, pray for just your heart as you navigate all the loss that's around you. I want to make sure you know that I'm super grateful for our friendship. I'm grateful for you even taking the time to do this Zoom call. I look forward to when we can sit face to face and share a coffee or something and actually be together. But I'm grateful for, let me just pray. Lord, thank you so much for Jason. Thank you for the ministry that you have called him to. Thank you for the cave and the great and powerful work that is going forward in that place. Thank you for the boys who come and the men who leave, who are warriors for your kingdom, who are ready to fight the good fight in a way that brings honor and glory to you. Thank you for the message that you have given Jason. Thank you for the anointing that you've given Jason. I pray that you would bless his marriage, that you would bless his being a father. I pray that you would strengthen his home and just make it a refuge for him, but also a refuge for his family as well. And I just pray that you would just continue to bring a fresh anointing to Jason and allow him to be just a part of taking your kingdom forward and advancing your kingdom. Thank you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Can I pray for you in grace, please?
Yeah, you can. I would love that.
Father God, I just first of all like to thank you for my friend Doug. He's truly been a blessing to me. And I pray, Father, that all that he's dealing with, the anxiety, the concerns, whatever it is, Father, that your Holy Spirit will comfort him. And I pray that you will continue to protect his entire family, especially his daughter who's in Africa. Please just guard and protect her and bring her back home safely as well when all of this is over. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for the entire Grace Church. I words cannot express how much of a blessing they've been to my family and I just to be able to fellowship with them. I pray, Father, that you would please gracefully teach them what it's meant when Paul said that you would give us the peace that passes all understanding. The reason that peace passes all understanding is because clearly we shouldn't be at peace, and that is these times now. So we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would give us that peace where everyone would look and say, I don't understand, how are they at peace? And then we have an opportunity to tell them about your son, to tell them about the Prince of Peace. We pray right now against our enemy Satan and all of his schemes against us, especially wanting many of us to be divorced and unable to really express the true intent of our heart for the fear of being hurt. We pray for all the marriages in Grace community. I pray that you would please, Father, purge every evil and unclean spirit that may have entered any of their homes that is causing conflict or dissension or discord so that you would get glory through their marriage and family. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man.